Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of Tales from the Foxy Gator. It's been a while. Oh my God, I think it's been a few months. I'm EB from the Sports Junkies here in Washington, D.C. Of course, I got my guys Joe P., Vinny Amorato from Long Island, and a very, very special guest. We've been hyping him up on air for the last couple months. Dylan Lauby, stud running back, wide receiver, punt returner, do everything guy from the University of New Hampshire. And of course, Joe P. and Vinny know Dylan and his family since, from what I understand, since basically these boys all grew up together. Is that correct, Dil?
Yes. They're actually, yeah. Basically both my coaches from playing lacrosse, football, and I kind of grew up with both their sons. So yeah, it's been a long time. So yeah, it's been fun.
Well, they've been hyping you up for the longest time. Joe P, why don't you start out like your first memory when you met him? You sent me a video once of JoJo just knocking the shit out of some kid at like seven. Okay.
Yeah.
Dylan on that team?
No, we played against Dylan. So I'll give you the background how I met Dylan.
Okay.
So Dylan comes from West Hampton, which was a smaller town. They played in the B's and C's. So they were in like the B division, we were in the A division, and all of a sudden all I hear is that West Hampton's killing everybody in the B's, they're going to move them up to the A's. So
yeah, I remember this time,
actually scouted West Hampton, and all I remember is like, calls me up, he's like, listen, they suck, but this kid 40 is better than Petey. He was out. He goes, I go, get out of here. He's not better than Petey. He goes, I'm telling you, I saw him go up with his left hand, snap with one hand, intercepted 60 yards for a touchdown. I go, this kid better than Petey. So,
how old at that point?
That was probably like nine, maybe.
Nine or ten.
Maybe like eight, yeah, 9 or 10. Third grade, maybe. Yeah, something like that.
And he's scouting me, too, at 9 years old.
I believe it.
Filming, we're in the woods, whatever.
Hey, Joe P., bring your mic closer so there's not as much echo. If you bring it a little closer. Okay. I don't know. So JoJo was on that team? Was Ty?
A lot of the – on that team, it was more of our town team, so it wasn't as many as the, the Team Long Island guys. So
okay.
Mostly, you know, JoJo was pretty much, I think, the only one from Team Long Island at the time that was on my football team. Petey actually played for a different football team, the Sharks, at the same time. Mm-hmm. We kind of get together later. So we come up, and these guys, they put them in the playoffs. So we get them in the first round of the playoffs.
This is third grade freaking football.
This is like third or fourth grade.
We're treating this like it's a fucking national championship.
Right.
I know.
All right. But they got Dylan.
Okay.
Right? So I think that was when we had Silverstein. We had a pretty good
team. Yeah.
So we score every time they have the ball. They score he scores every time they have the ball. We tackle them. We didn't even tackle them. We knocked them out at the 2-yard line with like no time left on the clock to win the game.
Nice.
So He made me swear that. So after the game, I walked up to his dad, Kyle, and I said, does he play lacrosse? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, now he's playing for me. So that's all my guys. After football games, I went to the parents. Uh-huh. I got all the running backs and the receivers and the quarterbacks, and I brought them over to the team. And
that's team how I did it.
Wow. And Van, I want to get to you in a second, but Joe P., you didn't grow up playing lacrosse, so I'm surprised that your boy played that early already. It's just everybody on Long Island played lacrosse, and so you were going to coach it anyway?
Yeah, well, not really. I started with baseball. I put him in at 4 years old. I thought we were going to have to – I did the same thing in baseball. And started getting a good team together. And then I remember one time, like, one of his friend's moms was the Palisades. Tommy Palisades was a pro player. Yeah. He was – they were, like, really into lacrosse. They're like, just let him come down and play. I'm like, I don't care. Let him go play. Mm-hmm. So he goes down and plays, and he likes it. And then we're at Ward Melville, which was a big lacrosse school, and we're playing baseball. And all I see is every kid with the batter turned around watching the lacrosse game. I looked at my buddy. I go, we're done. That's it. So after that, is like, I'm like, I guess I got to learn how to play, how to coach lacrosse.
Right, so, right. And then, so Vin, where do you play into this? Was Ty wasn't on JoJo's team here at that point?
Nope, Ty wasn't on JoJo's team. But I knew Dylan from football. Like Joe said, he played at West Hampton. And my best friend was the head coach at West Hampton. So they're a little bigger than Mount Sinai is. So we would scrimmage them every year. But the only way we would scrimmage him is I would tell my buddy Billy Parry that Dylan couldn't carry the ball more than three times in the scrimmage or else we're not coming.
Is that true?
I don't think we tackled him in 4 years that we scrimmaged him.
I remember after one scrimmage, I was watching from the stands and JoJo comes in. He's like, God damn it, Dylan's so fucking hard to tackle.
So, Dylan, what are your memories? So when you grew up, so at like 7 or 8, are you playing? Are you just like kind of standard kid? Like you're playing baseball, football, I guess lacrosse huge up there, that kind of basketball, yeah. Everything?
Yeah, I played everything. Yeah, I played baseball, lacrosse, football, soccer. I tried wrestling, but yeah, football and lacrosse was like my two big things. And I remember when Coach Joe recruited me to Team LI, I only picked up my stick when it was lacrosse season. Like I picked up like the first day I picked it up and it was just like, kind of just like, if I was rusty, I was like, screw it. I'm fine. So,
right.
Kind of, but the Team LI team, it was like the best studs all around the island. It was like a bunch of like freak athletes that weren't the best lacrosse players, but we were the best athletes on the field. So, I mean, it was just a crazy time. And yeah, I mean, with JoJo, Tyler, I mean, we had James, Petey. We had like, it was just a bunch of studs. And the best thing was every tournament, we'd kick everyone's ass and they were like, every kid was going either to Duke, UNC, like any top school. And we had maybe a couple kids going like big time schools, but it was very like early on in the process. And we just kind of beat the crap out of every single team.
And I remember Joe P, you used to tell me that like tournaments wouldn't invite you, right? Or guy, they wouldn't want to have you there because then you'd like ruin the deal for them, right?
Yeah. What happened was when inside lacrosse really started to come about and they did their rankings, whatever, all these guys did all these prospect camps or whatever. And our kids were always playing football in the fall.
Yeah. So always.
We never went to one. Yeah. We were never right. We had nobody ranked in the top 100 or whatever. But then, we should have been. We had plenty of, you know, great kids. But then when it came down, we're playing teams that have, you know, 15 kids, you know, in the top 100, and we're beating them 14-2. How come you guys kids? You know?
Yeah. So. That was crazy.
Is that when you had, like you said, you had like, I'm one of these college guys or one of the, I don't know, like legendary lacrosse coaches or whatever would come over and he would give you plays. He would watch your guys play, Joe, and then he would tell you what plays to run because you weren't really a lacrosse guy, you had guys helping you.
Yeah, when we first started, it was Pete Mitchell that did the high school coach, right? And they love Coach Pete.
Of course, man.
Tyler's coaching with him right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Vin didn't. So you coached Dylan for what team then?
I did not. I was only a fan of the lacrosse, but I coached against him in all those scrimmages. And
yeah. Oh, I understand. Against him. Yeah, right.
Against him a bunch, yeah.
I gotcha.
And then the boys played against him too. The boys were at Miller Place, both Ryan and Tyler.
Right.
Because yeah, I think Dylan was on the varsity in second grade. So he was there forever.
I played them a bunch.
Joe's best coaching in lacrosse, whenever there was a close game, Joe would just say, if there's 2 minutes to go in the game, Joe would say, all right, give me all the running backs. So Dylan, James, Tyler, JoJo, Petey, and we let Abshire come in. He was a soccer player.
Uh-huh. All the running backs are bad.
Dylan would start with the ball, and none of the other running backs would touch it. He would run around lacrosse field. Nobody would touch him. Game over.
Dylan, you got 2 minutes for me? I got it, coach.
I can just run around the field.
I believe that because I think Dill probably knows. My son played with their boys, right, at Marist. Yeah. And that's how we kind of got to know each other. And my son, who's there right now in his fifth year, he used to always tell me when we watched JoJo and Ty and these guys, he's like, man, I really wish I played football because my son's got good feet or whatever. But he doesn't have good feet like the football guys, right? Like when they do the ladder drills and, you know, he was like, you could just tell the football guys. And my kid played soccer, basketball, everything, you know, but there's something specific, I think, about football training or the cutting or whatever the hell it is. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think both sports kind of help in a sense. Like, I mean, for lacrosse, for me, the speed of the game was so fast. So, like, my hand eye and just the way I'm able to see.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ball, I think that helps my receiving skills like a bunch. But like on the opposite end, when I play lacrosse, like football helped so much. Just with me like cutting the physical aspect of it just like helped so much. So yeah, I think both sports help in a sense. I think just play like a bunch of sports just like help your overall game. So.
No doubt. And then before we transition sort of into football, did you know all along that football was your first love? Because you were so good in lacrosse that the guys were telling me like Notre Dame invited you out to, you know, for lacrosse and that, you know, you were getting big time interest, but you were hell set on football. Talk about sort of that process.
I think Coach Joe can say it too. Like I was always involved with football first and then it was lacrosse second. So like anytime like there was something coming up for football, like I was going to football first, then lacrosse. So like it was kind of
I'm like, can you come to the tournament like after ends?
Yeah. And right. I was like, maybe. Like once again, like I liked lacrosse, but I never loved it like football. But like once again, I still like love the sport, but like it wasn't the same passion that I football. So
right. And it's funny because you guys always say for Petey LaSalle, or what, that's how you say his name, right?
Yeah, LaSalle, it was
kind of that same thing for him too, though, right? But he just
football,
couldn't.
Right?
Yeah, but he just couldn't get the football offers that he really wanted.
Yeah.
Right?
If he got an offer from New Hampshire, I guarantee Petey would have been.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, but once again, I mean, he's still a stud, so I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Right, he's had this unbelievable career. Yeah, it's not to have any regrets. It's just interesting how that all plays out.
Oh, yeah.
And so, all right, so you get interest from lacrosse schools, big-time schools, but a lot of these guys end up at Marist, PD at UVA. What football was New Hampshire the only school that offered you? Because I'm guessing they were just holding it against you for being a little undersized per se, right? Not being a big kid. Is that the idea?
I mean, yeah. And Long Island too, especially at my time it was very like an under recruited place too. And also as like a white running back that does the wing tee, it's kind of tough sometimes. And, I mean, also too, like, once again, so when I was going to my camps my junior year, I got sick. I had mono and Lyme disease. So, like, I lost a bunch of weight. So, like, all these camps that I was going to, like, attend, I couldn't attend because I lost, like, 15 pounds. I was sick as a dog. Eventually, I got healthy. And it was really only a few schools. But once again, I committed pretty early. But the one school that only offered me was UNH. So once again, like, I was expecting like Stony Brook and all those other CAA schools, and kind of the only school was New Hampshire.
But once again,
like, a couple lacrosse schools offered me, but once again, I was trying to like almost weasel my way in to play both lacrosse and football. But once again, that kind of didn't really work.
The funny thing is, I wanted to do it at Marist. I'm like, hey,
oh yeah, tell the story.
One of the guys didn't like him, and I still talk to the coaches at Marist. Are like, I cannot believe you idiots. I go, he will be the best player that ever played here, and you're not sure.
That's crazy. We've talked about this in the past, Dill. Can you talk about like? Because Long Island, I don't know the history of Long Island, right? But I know it's so famous and well-known for its lacrosse. But why does it seem like football doesn't have that same tradition? Why is that? There's obviously great athletes there.
Yeah, I think it's getting more buzz now. Like, I'm seeing a lot more guys, especially like younger kids getting like bigger schools. But I don't know. I think a lot of those top kids like either go to like – down south, or they kind of transfer schools when they kind of are starting to get those offers. I don't know if it's just the competition. I don't know if it's just kind of just like, because like, I'm pretty sure like a lot of those southern schools, it's like stadiums. You got like stadiums, you got like the whole time involved in football. Like, while here it's like a lacrosse area. So like, it's kind of not as intense, I would say. I don't know if
this Vin, or do you guys just not have like big guys? Like, what's going on? You got to have big guys and big, right? You know what I mean? Big stud athletes.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, are you guys just not growing big athletes over there?
You know, part of the problem is we have so many high schools on Long Island
that,
you know, the competition is so watered down. If they see Dylan play in Division III on Long Island, one of the first things all the colleges said to me was, yeah, the competition is very suspect. And they're right. Mm-hmm. We should have one. Well, not me. If Joe stood out of my house and hit a driver, mm-hmm. he would hit seven high schools that all have football programs from my house. Seven different high schools.
Yeah.
So that should be in the South. That's one high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the competition, and all the colleges would always tell me when I would send Dylan's film to a million schools.
Yeah,
but the competition's really suspect. He's just running away from people, or he's just running people.
I said,
he'll do that against anybody.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's risk reward, right? It's like you have, you know, certain amounts of scholarships to give up. If you know, it's the same reason why they recruit from Long Island. If they come to our high school, Mount Sinai, we've had tons of Division I players. So they're going to think the next guy is going to be a good Division I player because he's proved it out in that competition.
Well, also with the same thing, like New Hampshire was also like the same thing. Like they were suspect of me. They're like, okay, like he's good, but we want to invite him out to our junior day. So I went out there, I performed really well. And then like after that, they were like, okay, like he's the real deal. So that's when they offered me. So like, once again, like I think they were willing to take a chance while like those other schools were like, I'm not too sure. I don't know if we like really want him that bad. So that was kind of the issue.
Okay.
Yeah, even like a good friend of mine is a coach at Wake Forest, and I sent him tape, and he was like, he showed it to the running back coach. And he said, I think this kid can play. He's like, I like him, but I don't, like, you know, we have this recruit. Like, maybe if he waits a year, I can bring him in. But he goes, it's a risk. It's more of a risk. That's really what it comes down to. Mm. It's like, yeah, I think looking at the tape, I think he can play, but I know that kid can play.
You know how? Like, also, yeah. Go ahead, no, Dale. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, like, if I really wanted to like walk on to like a bigger school, I probably could have. But once again, that's not my goal, and it was kind of more like, hey, like I want to play where I can play, and I kind of wanted to like make a statement for myself. So that's where I kind of chose.
No, it makes sense. I know, like in lacrosse and in basketball. Guys will do like prep school years or whatever, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Are guys, I don't even know that I should know this. Are guys doing this in football? Is that a thing in football or no?
So it's bigger in the Northeast. Like I know my younger brother, he tore his ACL his senior year in the playoffs. So he went to prep school.
Okay.
For his fifth year, I would say. And now he's at Holy Cross.
Oh, okay. So
it's a bigger thing in the Northeast because a bunch of kids on my team that are from like the South or West Coast, they have no idea what a prep school is really.
Right.
It's more of a thing up here, but like for them, it's more like, you know.
Gotcha. All right. So you go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. The thing is they're younger when they start school than we are. You know what I'm saying? So they're older. I'm sorry. We're younger than they are when we start school. Mm. They're, you know what I'm saying? The cycles are different. So a lot of those kids are a year, you know, when they're coming out, They're more physically developed, correct.
Right. So. All right, so you go to New Hampshire, and just from reading your bio, I see you played in just a few games, and then you're lucky there, but I guess call that a redshirt year. Describe what mm-hmm. it was like when you first got there. Did you expect to play right away? Was it kind of natural for you, kind of the way they worked you in a little bit here and there? How did that go?
Yeah, so I kind of like I knew I wasn't going to start immediately because we had like three backs. It was like two seniors and like a redshirt sophomore. So like I pretty much knew that I was going to be like the kind of just like I was going to have to wait. Also in college too, like there's a new playbook, a new style, and you have to learn so much stuff. And like I don't regret any of that. And I think I kind of like it that you actually redshirt because once again, like you kind of adjust to the new schemes and you kind of get more comfortable playing wise. And like once again, like especially those younger kids that I see play like their true freshman year, thinking too much on the field because they're trying to figure out the play, what they're doing. And really, while if you already know the playbook and kind of already know the scheme, you could just flow with it. And kind of my first year was more of like a kind of like a developmental kind of year for me. I was actually the only freshman on my team to play in four games. So my year was the first year that you were allowed to play in four games. Mm. If you play less than four games, you can redshirt. So I traveled to pretty much every single game. I played on special teams. And then kind of my redshirt freshman year was kind of when I got more comfortable with the offense. I gained like 10 pounds. And once again, I was like more of like the third down back. I was the returner. So once again, I kind of got more and more as the years went on, but no, it was that I think that was the plan the whole time.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
I mean, kind of just as it went on, it just kind of got better and better.
Hmm. So you knew going in that you could play four games and it would still be a redshirt year. You weren't worried about it. Right.
So, so 2018 was the first year that they allowed it to happen.
Gotcha.
So once again, so they were planning on the true freshman to play in four games and kind of just to get like used to the play style on special teams, maybe a couple snaps on offense or defense. So that's kind of how it went.
I got you. And so then by your sophomore year, do you really become a regular or does it take to your junior year?
Well, my retro freshman year, like with that, we had three backs. And it was kind of funny. Like I probably had the least reps, but I had the most touchdowns on our team. So kind of like it was kind of like after that season, my redshirt sophomore year, it was only two backs. So it was me and my friend Carlos, who's actually on the Falcons now. And we were splitting 50-50. And once again, we were both going back and forth. Then the following year, he transferred for his senior year. And then I stayed and I started the next 2 years. So that's kind of –
gotcha.
Kind of just more and more as it went on.
And you were always like that kind of do everything guy, like third
always.
Down back. Great. I mean, Joe P keeps talking about they're going to love him as a punt returner. And the guy's hands are unbelievable, runs great routes, that kind of thing. So you've always, that's always who you've been.
Well, once again, like I've always wanted to play. So I didn't care if I wanted to play QB, receiver, running back, DB. Like I didn't care. I just wanted to play. So really, like, I was like, okay, how could I play? So it was from being a returner. I was like, okay, let's perfect this. And then I switched to receiver. Because actually my true freshman year during camp, a lot of receivers and slots went down either from a hamstring injury or like a random injury. And they're like, hey, we need a player to step in. So I stepped up in the slot. I was going back and forth from running back to slot. And then they kind of saw that I was able to do both. And then once again, my retro freshman year, I was in a couple packages to play slot, running back, return specialist. And then once again, I think my true senior year, all spring ball, they put me in as receiver from either out wide from X to Z to slot. And just kind of, I'm pretty sure all spring ball, I maybe had like five snaps at running back. So once again, so they kind of wanted to put me everywhere and kind of in the games it worked.
Were they doing that to also, like, when did you start thinking about the NFL as a possibility? Because I'm wondering, did they do that also just to highlight all of your skills for that next level? Or is that just how they wanted to utilize your skills to best suit the team?
Both. Because after my junior year is kind of when I blew up, in a sense. I was an All-American. Agents were hitting me up all the time. And that's kind of when I was like, okay, like, this could actually be a thing now. One of the agents was kind of getting in my head, like, hey, like the portal now is kind of crazy. You could get a bunch of money, especially as a running back now, all this stuff. And I thought about it. I was thinking about transferring and I talked to all my coaches about it. And they were actually super cool about it. They were like, hey,
wow,
you want to do whatever you want. But once again, they also told me that their plan for me next year. They're saying how they were going to actually use me more as like a receiver, get out wide and empty sets, me as a returner. So once again, they're like, if you transfer to a different team, sure, but what's the chances of you having that same role? It was very slim. So once again, I thought about it for like maybe a day and I was like, screw that. I'm staying. I mean, the only thing I would leave for was maybe for the money, but then I was like, dude, why? I mean, that's not why I'm playing this game. So I stayed, and then they had a whole plan for me. It was once again, I think our team was different from my junior year where we were more ground and pound. And from my senior year, we lost a bunch of guys up front. Once again, we started a really great group of guys up front, but once again, our receivers out wide, our QB was unbelievable. So once again, just like the way we use our offense was so dimensional, where it was like we threw it more than we ran it, but once again, like, we could do both. So they wanted to make sure that I was able to be a receiver in case shit hits the fan running the ball. Like, okay, let's now cut out wide.
Right.
Base.
Were you always like the best athlete on the team? It's a double-edged question. Were you always like basically one of the, like, you tested the best and everything? And then I assume they had other beasts, but how many guys from New Hampshire, I have no idea, from New Hampshire have actually played at the next level where it was like a viable thing for you?
So I don't think I was always the best. I think I just worked hard, where like I was always doing these drills every single year in the off season, from the winter, from the spring. Like, I think I was just doing it so much that now it was just like kind of just like second nature to me. So once again, like, with all that stuff, I've been training for all that stuff for like such a long time. And then what was the second question?
Were you the best? Oh, how many guys from New Hampshire had played at the next level?
Yeah. So I would say probably the most recent was Dalton Crossan. He had a small stint. So he's actually from Sachem, which is about 25 minutes away from me. Yeah. He was a running back there. And that's kind of why they took me, because I was almost the same exact player as him. He was a receiver / running back threat that played returner also. And he was just a freak. He was the one problem was he was injury prone. Once again, he was a hell of an athlete. I think he did a stint with the Colts and the Bucks for 3 years, I think. He was probably the most recent. We had a couple guys like Corey Graham, and I think that our last drafted guy was Corey Graham in 2010. He was with the Eagles. I think he was a three-time Pro Bowler. We had a couple linemen. It's to be honest, it's a very small group. Only a few guys got drafted before, but it's been probably over a decade.
So it was a big deal. And so for where I got to know you, beyond Joe P and Vinny talking you up, is you made a big name for yourself at the Senior Bowl, right? So when you get that invite, that's got to be huge, right? That you even get the invite. Maybe you could talk about that whole process a little bit. And then you were at the Combine too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really big when you get to go to the Combine, because now you really know you're in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's kind of important too. Like, this year, there's not like this running back class isn't super strong in a sense that there's not a number one back. You know, like last year it was Bijan or someone where it was like he was the number one guy. This year there's not a definitive one guy. So once again, like, they were trying to find like, okay, who's the next like running back threat? And I think me being such a versatile player helps it a bunch. And I think really kind of when I stuck out was after my Central Michigan game, where that was when I had a bunch of receiving yards against a big time school. And that's when Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl reached out to me. And then kind of towards the end of the season, when the invites were coming out, he contacted my agent. And then my agent had a connecting phone call with me and my dad, basically saying that I got the invite to the Senior Bowl. And like that week, he was going to send like a whole box of like a hat, a magazine, that you are invited to this prestigious game. And it was insane. Because like, that's like the game that you want to show yourself the best of the best.
Right. So what's that environment like? I know a couple guys that have been down there, but I've never been there. So it's just like a bunch of practices, right? And then coaches run around. Is that kind of what it is?
So the practices, I would say, are the best part. And that's like, once again, that's probably like two hours max. But for the rest of the day, it's meetings, interviews, you're talking to coaches, you're doing other social media stuff for Mini or Reese's Senior Bowl. So once again, there's so much stuff that are beyond the practice. When like you're up at 6 a.m. and then you aren't done till like 11 o'clock at night, and you're nonstop all day. And then so you have three practices. So you're there from Sunday through Saturday. Practices were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, walk through Friday, and then game Saturday.
Gotcha.
Once again, like, you were expected to have your best practice every single day, but at the same time, you're doing interviews with head coaches, scouts all day. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, at night from like 6 to 10, it's almost like a speed dating thing where like each team has like their own booth,
right,
and you go through every single team and you're there for 10 minutes on the clock and you talk to every single team and each team asks the same exact questions about,
like, what,
either who you are as a person, what's your family like, have you ever been in trouble, like what was your experience at school, like it's just so much. Not random questions, it's just more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
They want to get a sense on like who you are as a person.
Are any of these guys like big name guys, or are they more like scouts and the kind of guys that the general public may not know?
So the combine's more of like the head coaches, position coaches. The Senior Bowl was more of like the scouts, but it was cool. There was three head coaches there. It was the Giants. Forgot who else, but Mike Tomlin was there, and he was. I see why everyone like loves Mike Tomlin. He was going up to every single kid, talking to them. He knew every single person by name. Like, he was just a very personal guy. While every other coach was kind of like laid back, serious, he was just having a great time. Like, he was like on the field, involved in the practice. Like, I caught a fade route against a DB, and he like dapped me up after and was just all like jacked up about it. So it was just like a cool experience though.
Did you feel like right away, and Joe P, I don't know, maybe you could speak to this. I'm sure you were talking to his father and just kind of monitoring. A lot of this stuff was on TV, right? Was some of this stuff on TV?
Yes.
Did you feel like right away you were going to dominate?
No. I mean, so like in my mind, I always like, I'm very confident with myself, but at the same time, like, you don't know until you step on that field. And first period, practice was one-on-ones, so it was us against the backers, and like once again I think I went like 5 for 5 winning every single time, and then after that I'll be okay, like, this is gonna be a fun time.
Right Were you watching all of this, Joe P, with the stuff and Vin? Were you guys all watching?
I watched every bit of it. We're like kind of like, we kind of creep on Dylan, he doesn't even know it.
it's all good.
I was texting his father Kyle as I was watching it because he was doing so great, and Kyle wasn't texting me back until he texted me back and said, "Sorry, I had to go into the bathroom. I don't want anybody to see me crying."
Oh,
he was just so, you know, the emotion. He goes, "I had to go to the bathroom so nobody would see me."
Right.
Oh, he was petrified the whole week. Like, he was just like, and I think just like seeing me being relaxed and like confident helped out so much. He's like, there's a bunch of guys there that were like just so jacked up and like so like nerved up that they just like shit the bed the whole time. Like, there was
really
that He was a projected first round pick, and I think he dropped every single ball. He dropped legit, I think, every single ball, and then his stock just went down.
That was the kid from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, I saw him like Friday, and you just saw in his face. He was just he was just shut down.
I felt bad for him too. Watching, yeah, because the kid's better than that. He's a good player.
Yeah, he is, and he's fast as hell. So it's just.
What quarterbacks were there? Were any quarterbacks that we know there?
Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Sam Hartman, Sam. Spencer
that guy's
Rattler.
Dreamy. That Sam Hartman guy.
Oh my God! He's probably the most handsome guy I've ever seen in my life. Seriously, bro.
Hey, talk. I want you to break down these guys. All right, because the Commanders in Washington, we're all into quarterback here, and we assume that we're going to take May or Daniels or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But there is some thought maybe to trade down and we get a guy like a Penix or a Bo Nix. Break those guys down. What was your thoughts on those guys?
Penix was super cool, man. He's got a crazy arm. And the one thing a lot of people underestimate from him is that he knows the game very well. Like just like talking to me, he knows like just the
high
game.
IQ guy,
very high IQ guy. Like he just like knew just from like coverages, from tells, like he just like understood the game. So I think he could be someone super special. I think he's gonna be like the like next like crazy player. That's gonna be, oh my
so
God,
he
like,
surprised he was the best of the bunch.
So my quarterbacks that I watched was Bo Nix, Penix, and Sam Hartman.
Okay.
So the other team was Spencer Rattler, Milton, the kid from Tulane. I couldn't really watch them because when they were practicing was after us, and right. we had interview, so I didn't really get
I'm not interested in those guys. I've heard I'm not interested in Rattler and I don't know about Milton, but I am interested in the guys you were actually with, especially Bo Nix. What was your take on him?
Oh, awesome kid too. It's just the one problem is it's so hard for them because once again they've never thrown with any of those guys before. So once again they didn't understand the speed of each player, and like it's very hard for them to get a understanding from each guy because one-on-ones every kid's doing something different, either like selling a fade ball and doing a comeback, so like it was very hard to tell in that sense. But once again I didn't feel like any quarterback kind of like did unbelievable, but once again I think Nix and Penix would be the top two guys.
Those are the top two guys. All right.
Yeah.
What about receivers? I'm just thinking now, but from Redskins' perspective, Commanders, whatever.
I've been telling everyone, I think the steal of the draft is going to be Ladd McConkey from Georgia. He dominated. He's a great kid, and he's a freak. He's a freak. Like, his routes are insane. I don't think there was one DB the whole time that even, like, could even cover him because he was such a freak out there.
Huh.
Yeah, dude, he's just a dog. He's just a dog, that kid.
All right.
So who else? Xavier Leggett is just a freak athlete. He's just huge. He's just a big guy.
What about O linemen? Did you pay attention to them at all? Did any of those guys jump out?
Well, first of all, I've never had an O line like that before. Where they're so fast and they can move the line. So I was like, holy shit! Like,
yeah,
this is fun,
right?
Yeah, this is actually fun. This is actually a line. So, I mean, there was just so many dogs there. I mean, I could say every single guy there, but once again,
are any of them high, expected to go very high that were there?
Yeah, I think Oregon center, I think he's in the first round, maybe late or like early second round. I know the O tackle from Oregon State. I think he's projected first round. There was a couple DNs that are projected in the first round too. So I would say it's more like late first round guys to like second to third round guys there.
Right. The kid Fisk looked pretty impressive.
Oh my God.
That kid looked like a beast. Yeah.
So I played him when he was at Western Michigan and that was my junior year and he dominated us. I mean, we couldn't even stop. I picture they won like 28-7, but like once again, we just could not even run the ball on them because he's just an animal, that guy.
Yeah. Right.
And he went to FSU, and once again, he's probably going to be a second round pick.
Right. So you ball out at the Senior Bowl, and then at that point, had you already had your combine invite, or did that seal your combine invite?
The combine invite was earlier.
Okay.
The one thing is, I think 18 of the 32 teams have to say that they want you coming to the combine. They have to accept you. If 17 of the 32 teams say yes, you're on the waiting list. So you have to have 18 or more teams that say say yes.
Okay.
So first wave, I got in. I had a couple buddies of mine that were on that cusp. And then eventually the second wave, they got the initial yes.
They got it.
So it's a crazy thing, man.
And then you did all these guys, right? It's such an important day. It's so silly because, you know, really you just want to watch the film and see what the guys can do. But like you say, you have different levels of competition and these guys want to see you guys up close and they want to talk to you. You know, there's all those things that go into it. But it's so important, the prep, right? And I know talking to Vin and Joe P, they were talking to your dad and they're like, I think he's going to run a 4.5 and, you know, he's going to bench a million pounds a million times. So talk about that. And they said that you were working out with all the big dogs, the big trainers. So what was that process like?
Oh, they were sick. So I've been going to that facility in Fort Myers. It's called the X3 since 2021 now. Actually, the owner of the place hit me up on Instagram, said, hey, like, I've watched your film. I think you're a great athlete. If you're ever down in Fort Myers, you could come visit here and work out. And
wow.
I was like, actually, yeah, my parents just got a house down there. Is there any shot I could stop by winter break in the summer? Said, yeah, of course. So I've been there since 2021 now. It's great, great place.
And then what was your main focus? Was it like legitimately like combine oriented training? Is that what it was?
Combine. It's legit. Like you were preparing for 10 weeks of all combine just for, so like Monday was your broad and your starts of your 40. Tuesday was your shuttles. Wednesday's off. Thursday was your top end speed, which is like your 20 through like your 40 yards. And then Friday was your L drill. And of course, bench was involved with lifts and stuff like that. So it was every single day was the same thing over and again, over again. It was like, and each thing had their own steps too. So like for the shuttle, like there's specific steps that you have to hit in order to get the best run. Like there's so much things that are involved with each drill that like you just don't understand because there's just each step. Like if you mess up on one step, it's going to mess up your whole run. Like even for like the 42, if you're short on a couple steps or if you.
Did you know exactly how many steps you were going to run in your 40?
So you train for that, yes. So you train for that. But once again, once when you hit that line, you can't even think. Because if you start to think, then you're screwed. So
right.
When you're preparing for it, you could start to think and break it down. But once again, like a week out, like you're not even thinking. You're just going to run it. Because at the end of the day, you can't fix a week out.
How much did you improve from when you first started? Like, I don't know, 40, maybe you were kind of always super fast. Or did you notice improvement?
So I've never got time doing a laser though. So that's why I was never really like, I was like, okay, am I a 4.5 guy? Am I a 4.4 guy? Because at the combine, eight teams had me at a 4.48. So each NFL team has their own handheld times.
Right.
Use actual times. So eight teams had me at a 4.48. I think Raiders had me at like a 4.46. So once again, like I was in that high 4.4 to like a low 4.5 range. So that's fine with me. That's what I kind of assume myself with. But definitely like even at college, I was probably like early on, I was like a mid to like late 4.5 guy with that handheld time. So I probably like increased my speed by like a whole like 10th of a second.
Wow.
So and which like it doesn't sound like much, but that's just like a huge thing for like a bunch of NFL teams.
Right. Now, Joe P, I know you saw Joe P or the legend is Joe P had some sort of bench press record or something, like some old man bench press record. What's your record, Joe P?
So what'd you hit?
225 or
4? Yeah.
Max was 585 and my most I did 225 was 47.
Did you?
No, it was funny too, because my dad before the combine went to our gym and banged it out and filmed himself. And he had, I think, 25 reps. And he lost a bunch of weight, too. So he banged out. I was like, Dylan, if you come home not getting over 25 reps, you are not welcome back in the class.
I was about 37, 38 at the time. Yeah, so it wasn't any time in the recent.
No, but still, I mean, still, that's crazy.
Right?
So I think
and that was with no spot.
Which then I got 23, and then my dad texted me. He's like, hey, you know, welcome back. So
that's awesome. Funny.
No, yeah. So
you never beat your dad.
So then, all right, so you did that, but then you also did a pro day, right?
Yeah. So depending on how I did at the combine was what I was going to do at the pro day. So once again, I killed all my numbers at the combine. So at my pro day, it was more just like talking with scouts, and I was going to do a couple of drills as in like receiver stuff, running back stuff. It was going to be very simple day, which it was. So it was more just kind of just showing scouts, like just kind of just like showing every single thing possible.
And I saw some New England writers were hyping you up, and they're saying you killed all the drills. I saw some of the videos. So then what's it been like since then? I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about it, but like, have you talked to other teams, like a team's contacting your agent? What are they telling you? You know, that sort of thing.
I've personally talked to probably like since then, probably like 10 teams of either Zooms with the running back coach with the, I've had with the Eagles, Eagles, Bills. I'm having one with the Chiefs. I have one with San Fran coming up. I'm going to the Jets local day on Friday, which again, that's more like meetings and stuff like that.
What does that mean? Jets local day. I don't know what that means.
So it's like a pro day for them. It's like a pro day for them. But once again, like since I already did all that stuff, I'm just going in to do like meetings with them and,
okay.
and just talk to the whole staff. And kind of just once again, just like what, just once again, just more interviews. And then I had a top 30 visit with the Saints, which is they fly you down to their nice. Facilities. And once again, it's interviews. You're talking to the head coach, GM, back coach, special teams coach. You are talking to every single person in the building.
Right.
I was supposed to have a top 30 visit with the Bears, but that kind of got scratched. Once again, I talked to them a bunch. I had a formal meeting with them at the combine. I've had meetings with them a couple times. My agent said that they kind of already saw what they had to see. And also when they got Swift, I assume they probably went to not bring me in, but who knows?
That's why I was pissed when the Skins acquired Eckler. That pissed me off because we were hyping you up.
Yeah, I know. But you know, once again, so I talked to the Commanders one time at the Senior Bowl, which they were a cool staff too. I liked them a lot.
Who did you talk to there?
It was a couple of their like regional scouts. They were like, it was more of kind of just like a broad thing. It wasn't like GMs or. Or anything. So
are you nervous when you're meeting these guys? Because I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I think initially I was, but now I've done it like so many times now that it's the same questions. And it's, now it's like, especially now it's about like your football IQ now, where in a sense, like, hey, they watch your film, you tell them what the play is. You kind of just go over if you know football, because in a sense, there's a lot of guys in the league that don't really know the game. They're just freak athletes, but once again, they don't really know like the IQ of the game. So once again, they just want to know, hey, like, do you know what the game is? So it's kind of just it's been super cool. So this process so far is now like I'm done. I'm getting back in football shape, and now it's more like interviews. You're zooming with running back coaches, with the GMs, head coaches, and just kind of they get a sense on like now, okay, like. This is a guy that we want. Let's see if he knows the game now.
Right. Have they stumped you? Like with any of the stuff on the board or anything?
So it's pretty cool because they will go over your film, but prior they'll go over, like, let's say they'll go over one of their plays. Like, okay, this is our inside run. These are the steps. This is what it's called. Here's how you block it up. And it's different. And then they'll go into your film and then 30 minutes after they'll come back and be, okay, tell us everything that you know from the play that I showed you in the beginning. So you have to go through every single thing. And it's,
oh my God.
I've been good with that. But once again, like, they don't expect you to know every single thing because they just taught you it for 5 minutes. But they just want to see if you know some stuff. It was cool because with the Bears at the Combine was my only formal meeting. And that's where you go into their lounge. And once again, it's their head coach, GM, assistant GM, owner, and like 10 scouts. And you walk into this room, a big table, you sit down, and they just hammer you with questions. And it was the same thing. They ask you personal stuff. And then eventually they go over a play, and it was duo for them. And then they got into my film. And then after that, I went on a board. I had to draw my protection. And this is in front of everyone. And they are not saying anything. There's only one guy talking to me. And then we got back into film. And then before it was done, and this is only in 20 minutes. So it's like bang, 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 bang. Yeah. At the end, they then asked me, hey, can you tell us everything that you know from that play that we showed you at the beginning? And I just had to know on the top of my head, like what the name was, how they ran it, what the scheme was. And it was just like everything that I had to know.
Dude,
from what they showed
you, got to be locked in, man. You better take your Adderall or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
And thing is, prior to that, you're doing interviews with either scouts or position coaches 2 hours prior. So once again, like, you're just like nonstop over and over again. And it's just a crazy process.
Right. Wow. Joe P, are we missing anything? Vin, are we missing anything?
I just got to know one thing.
Dylan. Yeah.
I'm going to clear this up because I talk to this knucklehead all the time.
Yeah.
Did Mr. Lyons or you win the pull up and the push up contest?
It was me. Because
he said he beat you in the push ups, but you beat him in the pull ups.
He's such a liar. Because every summer, the one message thing is, in between games, I was hitting the push ups. He was resting up, he was chilling with the sun. I appreciate it was like back and forth. I think we're going to have to bring it back one day, and I'm going to have to show him what's up.
Yeah. But the question was, you were only 13 at the time.
I know. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. Did they give you any, has anybody said to you, because what I read, they always say, oh, he's, we're thinking fifth or sixth round or something like that. Is that, do teams, do they tell you that to your face? What do they say?
Even with all that stuff coming out, you have no idea. You actually have no idea. Even like my agents too have no idea. There's a ceiling and then there's a floor. And like, you have no idea. Like, he's had plenty of guys that were projected in the third round and got picked in the seventh round. And he's had plenty of guys that were projected in the sixth round and got picked in the fourth. So it's really, if a team wants to take you in a certain position and they feel like there's another team pursuing you that really likes you too. So what's like, so the funny thing is, a lot of teams want you to do bad at the combine if they really like you, because once again, if you do bad at the combine, a lot of teams are like, okay, like, he's off the list. While if a team really likes you a lot, they're like, okay, like, we want him to do bad at the combine because then we could take him in the seventh round or sixth round. But if he does well, a lot more teams are like, damn, like, we want him in the fifth. While now we have to pick him in the fourth.
Right. And it's also, you know, kind of the age old story that people always talk about, where like, once you get to a certain point, let's just say they're not picking you. You want to go undrafted so you could pick the best spot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But at a sense, I mean, the dream is to be
drafted. So you want to be drafted. I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Yes. But like, in like a business sense, yes. But once again, like, I think getting drafted is like the pinnacle of that process.
So, is there any team that's on your FUBAR list that you don't want to play for?
No,
suicide.
I know, that's actual suicide.
I got a question.
If I was a first round pick, like, and I could pick a team, sure, but once again, like, I will go anywhere. Like,
right.
I don't care if it's cold, hot, taxes. I mean, I don't give a shit. I'll just play anywhere.
Right.
So. I'm assuming the new kickoff rule,
oh yeah, that's
going to be beneficial to you.
That like a lot of people, especially yeah. So like in that, especially in the mocks, like they don't realize either. Like that rule is huge for me because once again, like now you have to return the ball.
Right.
So now
close quarters too. It's not just, you know,
every single time you score now, like you have to return the ball. So now that's going to be 6 or 7 plays a game now, where you need a guy that's able to return the ball and also able to take the hits now. So once again, like a team now has to draft or pick a guy that's able to return the ball. So now me being a threat and a versatile player that could play both offense and special teams, I mean, that's huge for me.
So did you – I should know this. So did you return kickoffs and punts at New Hampshire? Yes.
Yes.
I mean, how – you have to be psycho to be a punt returner, right? I mean, even more so than kicker. Psycho?
Psycho, yeah. Psycho, that's my name, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
No, but punt return, yeah. I think that could be possibly the hardest thing to do in the NFL, because like you don't realize there's guys flying down and you have to
catch
they're
trying
the ball
to kill you, and they're monsters.
That's bombed.
Yeah.
And like once again, there's so much on TV where you drop the ball and everyone's like, oh, he sucks. Dude, you just don't understand from the wind, from the way the ball's spinning. Like there's so much factors that like you have to catch the ball clean. But once again, if you catch the ball clean and you have space, I think it's easier to get a better return than kick return, because once again, like as punt return, if you get a clean catch, you have so much space, like you make one cut and it's most of the time it's a touchdown. But once again, kick return is a lot tougher to kind of make a good play in that sense, because once again, there's 11 guys that are just flying down all at the same lane. So you kind of have to find your own lane and kind of make something crazy happen.
I've returned punts. It's especially like that. You have to decide, not only do you have to catch it, then you have to decide if you have time. Like, the guy's not on you. It's so hard.
It's
yeah, so usually in the game, if I'm under the ball, I'll take like a quick glance and think, okay, do I have enough time to make a return here? And then off that, like, okay, is he like in my face and I don't have enough time? I'll fair catch it. But most of the time,
in the wind. It's
yeah, there's so much factors.
You do it because you seem like the kind of kid that will do anything. But do you cover too? Are you on coverage? And that's
So it's kind of cool how all these NFL teams, they want to know if you love football and if you play special teams. That's all they want to know. They ask every single kid, like, hey, do you love this game and do you play special teams? Because it's a 53-man roster, but only 46 dress. So in camp, there's 100-something guys there. It's cut in half. And then now during the games, there's only now 46 guys that are dressed. So once again, if you're not a QB, a superstar, like you got to play special teams. So once again, if you're going to make the team, you got to be a versatile guy. You can't just be a running back. If you're the number three back, you're not going to make the team if you don't play special teams. So that's why they want to know, hey, like, are you willing to do all the stuff? And I've told them from my film as a true freshman, a redshirt freshman, a sophomore, junior, and senior, I've played every single position possible. So like, oh, really? So they went back and watched the film, and now I think that helped me out a bunch.
That's awesome, man. Dude, it's awesome, right? Like, you got to be pitching yourself a little bit, right?
It's crazy, man.
What are the draft day plans? Like, I mean, you know, you're going to watch all three rounds. I mean, you probably think I'm probably not going to go in the first round, but you're going to be watching every pick going on. I wonder what's going to happen here, right?
So one of my friends that I still throw with and work out with is Jack Cohen from Sayville. And I kind of asked him this question. Hey, like, what did he do for his draft? Because he was actually an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. He said it was the worst day of his life because it's so stressful. You're there for 4 hours and just watching guys that you assume you were getting picked over and they just get picked. And you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
But he still said he had a great day, but it's just such a stressful thing. So I was depending on having like maybe a party after, just in case, like, okay, because once again, I have no idea what's going to happen, but if I get drafted, I'm having a big bash. I got to have a big party. I got a big party.
Are you going to be in Fort Myers or are you going to be up here?
Here. So if you guys want to come, you guys can come.
Oh, yeah. You guys got to go for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you the one thing. I can't wait till he gets drafted because I know Vin can speak about this too. There's so many people I've talked shit about, like about Dylan too, that – you know, we've been pumping him up since he, you know, since he was in, you know, playing lacrosse for us.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of I told you so's once he gets there. He's already there, but
right.
I've already been making the rounds.
Right.
Well, you know what's crazy now? Like I'm seeing a lot more people are coming out of the what works to even say, oh my God, you're doing so great. Like, I've been watching you since day one. I'm like, I haven't talked to these people in years, since like middle school. So I assume this is what's going to happen now, where it's just like random people are going to start coming out, and probably, and they were probably the people to bash me too. So who knows, man? Who knows? It's going to be a wild ride, man.
Hey, most important, when you do get drafted and you have that bash, you better tell your father, McCallum 25.
I know. It's sitting right here. I know. Oh, yeah.
Make sure he has that. And please, please, I hope you don't go to an NFC East team. I know. I don't want to cheer against you. Unless it's
no AFC East either. I'm a Dolphin fan. You can't go AFC East either.
Well, listen, Bills love me right now. So
is that right?
Actually, my my quarterback from college's kid is Matt Milano. So,
oh, really?
He's
a beast.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Well, so, yeah, who do you before we let you go, what teams have shown the most interest to you that you can tell, as far as you can tell?
Once again, like, you have no idea. But I think the Bears, Bills, San Fran, just kind of all the teams that I named before. Chiefs, not as much, but I think the Chiefs are getting more and more interest in me. Jets.
Eagles. Online, like
Eagles. No. The fans. Yeah, that fan base loves me too.
Yeah, the fan base.
They're always talking about me. I think with Swift too, when they got Swift, Saquon, that kind of. Who knows? But once again, they only have.
See, but I think of it a different way. Like, even with Eckler or Swift, like, if you have somebody that's on the roster that can match the skill set, if running backs, you know, they get hurt a lot.
Exactly.
If you have somebody on the roster that can match the skill set, that, like.
And what better player to learn from, right?
San Francisco would be perfect for you. You have to change the offense.
Three backs. Exactly. You need three good backs on your team at all times, just from injury or from one to two. Two back punch. So once again, like, you always need backs. You always need backs.
All right, real quick, I got to ask you: did you see at the combine Daniels or May or any of those guys throw? Did you have any, or were you just doing your own thing?
So I was before them, but it was kind of cool because May, after my running back drills, they asked me and two other running backs to stay after and do routes on air. So it was pretty cool. It was just our three backs on the field while everyone watching. So it was just us three backs, and we ran probably like 8 to 10 routes each.
For who?
Just for all the scouts and just like kind of just
for which quarterbacks you're saying? Were
it was Trace McSorley. It was more NFL like guys that are that were in the NFL or not
like anymore. On the outside looking in. I got it.
Yes. And then when I was catching balls, after May came up to me and was like, hey man, you're a hell of a receiver. I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And we were just kind of just like talking stuff. Dude, he's a funny guy.
Really?
A funny guy, man. I was like, so what are you throwing today? He's like, no. I'm like, why not? He's like, I was told I wasn't supposed to throw today. So I was like, all right, cool, man. Nice. So yeah, sure. Cool, man. I mean, you're gonna be a second or third pick in the draft. So
right,
sure.
Those guys got to do whatever they got to do.
Well, but once again, May was awesome. He was a really like humble kid. I liked him a bunch. Daniels, I didn't talk to him, but it was like I was expecting a lot of the guys to be super like cocky and kind of just like mean. Every running back there, every receiver, every guy that I talked to were so humble and nice. It kind of just like kind of gave me a bunch of respect. I don't know if it was from the Senior Bowl. I don't know if they just kind of were like, hey, like if you're here, you earn the respect. Mm-hmm. And plus, like, I found out too, like a lot of guys from like down south are very like religious and God, and they like are very like faith wise, and so like they're very nice. They're very nice, and they're not mean. They're
good. They're not guys.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I'm expecting to be like, come on,
they're assholes though.
Yeah, chill. No, it was super cool, man. It was a really cool week.
Well, we're super looking forward to all of this. I know I'm getting our fan base here, kind of getting to know you and stuff, and they're excited for you. You know, I can't wait till people get to hear this. Can't wait until this all unfolds. Hope it works out perfect. You go exactly where you want to be. And you know what? After you get drafted and everything, we'll have to get you on again. And
absolutely.
A little follow-up. Yes. Just a quickie.
Of course. Yeah, yes.
That's great. All right. Well, Dylan, that's Dylan Lauby, everybody. That's Joe P. Vinny Amorato, I'm EB. And we will see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.